Thanks for joining us for Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. You know, if you've tasted the fruit from a pawpaw tree, I'm betting it didn't come from the supermarket. And we'll find out why from our next guest. Great to have with us. He's been with us a number of times, but not to talk about pawpaws. Adam D'Angelo is the director of a new effort to bring pawpaws to the people. So have you tasted a pawpaw? What'd you think? What questions do you have about growing them? Adam D'Angelo, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Larry. Excited to be here.
How did you get interested in pawpaws?
So my story with pawpaws started when I was very young. I planted my first tree when I was 11. I visited my brother. He was working at Cornell University in something called McDaniel's Nut Grove, and that was a special place where when the chestnut blight first hit the United States, a professor at Cornell planted a whole bunch of fruit and nut trees to find out what would be the tree to take its place. So my brother was working there decades after that was planted, and we walked through, and he pointed out a tree with large, large leaves growing in the understory and these alien-looking fruits. They looked like big green lima beans. And I said, "What is that?" He said, "That's a pawpaw." And I said, I think I know all the fruits. There's bananas and apples and oranges and sometimes a pineapple. But this was something new, and it looked really exciting. And I went home that night, and I learned everything there was about pawpaws. I read every website, which you could do back then. There were about 8 websites. But I emerged the next morning with a full knowledge of pawpaws, and it's been a love affair ever since.
So, and there's a good reason why we can't get a pawpaw in the grocery store.
There is, yeah. So let's go back and give a little background of pawpaws. So pawpaws, Acimina triloba, that's the Latin name. They're North America's largest native fruit. They're large, about the size of a mango, and they actually have a flavor very similar to a mango. If you mixed mango and banana, sometimes there's a notes of vanilla. They have large black seeds in the middle and soft yellow flesh. And one of the big reasons you're not finding them in the grocery store is because they have a really short shelf life. They're soft, and they last days after you pick them. And if you get them in a fridge, they can last a couple weeks. But if you freeze the pulp, they can last a lot longer.
You know, Jill Nadeau had a pawpaw tree. I had several of them, I guess, and one of them was really got to be really, really tall. And so the height of these is can be pretty substantial.
It can. It's all about how you manage it. So it's about the environment they're planted in. Sunnier locations tend to keep the trees shorter and more round as they can get plenty of light. If you're planting in the shade, they'll tend to reach up to try and get light through the canopy. And of course, you can prune them and keep them short. I've seen people keep them as short as 8 feet, and I've seen trees that are 35 feet tall. So there's everything in between.
And, you know, it sounds kind of tropical, but these are native to the Midwest.
Yeah, they're native to the United States. They're actually very closely related to cherimoya and soursop. Those are tropical fruits. And what happened is that when the continents divided, they got trapped up here. And they learned, they adapted to life in the cold. And they've really done a great job. They're all over. They're from the Midwest to the Mid-Atlantic to the South, pretty much anywhere from zones 5 to 8 on the eastern side of the U.S.
And they're nutritious.
They are. But mostly, they're delicious.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best part is that everyone seems to like them. Kids really enjoy them. There's no learning curve for a pawpaw. People who taste them think they're excellent. And that's the best part is getting people to eat more fruit, and specifically eat fruit that's grown here by people here. You can grow them with very few pesticides or herbicides or low-input crop. So it's really a great way to have a healthy and clean product grown right in your community.
And actually, I think the leaves are even pretty rich in minerals and vitamins and enzymes.
So we don't recommend eating the leaves or making tea with them. In soursop, people do make soursop leaf tea. One of the great things about pawpaws is that they don't have insect pests. Well, they do, but not very many. And one of the reasons is that they have a compound in the leaves that repels the insects. Now, people looked into years ago into actually using that as a repellent for insects in other plants. And they took the leaves and they tried to extract that compound. But the great thing is the pawpaws make it in their leaves and bark, but none of it's in the fruit. And as a result, they have far fewer pests than a lot of other fruit trees.
And I'm told that deer don't like them.
In my experience, it's not the first thing the deer will eat. The best way to protect your pawpaw is to have some hostas in the yard. But in the middle of summer, if everything is dry and the pawpaws still are green and healthy, they'll nibble at them. But it's not the first choice.
No, definitely not the first choice. Well, tell us about Project Pawpaw.
Yeah, so I mentioned growing pawpaws since I was 11. But about 4 years ago, I really wanted to do something more with pawpaws. I went to school for plant breeding and agriculture, and plant breeding and genetics is what I went to grad school here at UW for. And while I was in those programs, I realized that pawpaws are not just a great fruit that's tasty and fun. They're a fruit with a lot of potential. So 4 years ago, I started Project Pawpaw, which is a crowdfunded research and breeding program. We raise money through the sale of plants and shirts and other merchandise, and we've been using that money, every bit of it, to put towards pawpaw research and towards developing new varieties.
So what's been the success so far?
Yeah.
What have you done so far to produce better trees and fruit?
It's been a really exciting time, Larry. Last year, we put in our first research orchard in southern New Jersey. We did about 750 trees there. This year, we're putting in a second orchard right here in Wisconsin in Spring Green. We'll be doing a planting of about 1,000 trees. And this fall, we'll also have one going in Georgia. And those research orchards, the goal of them is to test all of the existing named varieties, as well as a geographically and genetically diverse population, test those in different environments, in the warm, stable climate of New Jersey, in the cold and challenging climate of Wisconsin, and in the very hot and humid part of Georgia. And we're going to see which ones do the best and which ones do the worst, and use that to inform our decisions as we try and make new varieties that are better suited for all these environments.
So that's a lot of trees, and that would be a lot of fruit.
It will be a lot of fruit, yeah. So that's one of the nice things, is that even the fruit from existing varieties is very high quality. Now, we're trying to breed better quality. So one of the big things, like I mentioned before, is shelf life. And you can breed for shelf life by looking at things like skin thickness and fruit firmness. Of course, we're also going to be very careful that we keep that wonderful pawpaw flavor and make sure that we emphasize breeding for good fruit quality and good consumer tasting quality. But there's a few other agronomic traits we'll be selecting for. And the fruit trees that are in the ground, they'll be used to help fund the research itself. So once they start to produce, we'll sell fruit, we'll process it into frozen products, because that's the other part of this. It's research, it's breeding, and it's market development. So we're trying to help form markets and get consumers used to this wonderful new fruit and hopefully get small farmers to come on board.
Well, now Jill was telling me that her pawpaws never produced fruit.
Yeah, so
she is desperate to get a taste of a pawpaw, but she had those trees for a long, long time, and they never produced fruit. Why would that be the case?
So there are two main reasons why people don't get fruit on pawpaws. The first one, which is what I typically find, is that people planted the pawpaws in heavy shade. A lot of these were marketed for decades as trees that will thrive in the shade. And in reality, they really only tolerate the shade. Their ecological niche is they exist in the understory and they wait. You can find a pawpaw tree that's 10 years old and barely above your head. What it's waiting for is a tree in the canopy to fall down and open up light to the forest floor. And you'll see in just a couple of years, that tree will go from the understory to the canopy and it will start to make fruit. So when people plant trees in full shade in their yard, they typically aren't having enough energy to make fruit. They'll get poor pollination, poor fruit set. That's one of the reasons, and planting in full sun is definitely the optimal way to be growing pawpaws for fruit, even though they're an attractive ornamental. The other way is, the other reason why they don't get fruit is because they don't have genetically distinct varieties. Typically, we say to plant two varieties or two different trees for best pollination. So that can be two trees from different seed sources, or if you buy grafted trees with named varieties, getting two different ones will ensure good pollination.
So you can, graft two different ones on the same?
You can, and pawpaws are really easy to graft. And if you go to our website, projectpawpaw.com, there's free online guides for everything from planting instructions to grafting to growing them commercially. And we explain step-by-step how to graft your pawpaws. It's really a great and fulfilling skill, and pawpaws are an excellent way to start.
Adam D'Angelo, our guest today, director of the Pawpaw Project. It's great to have him with us. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News.
WPR connects you to people in Wisconsin and around the world. You hear many perspectives and civil conversations every day, and you may even learn a few things along the way. Wisconsin Public Radio brings you thoughtful conversations and the latest news. Thanks for listening.
Support for WPR comes from the state of Wisconsin, business sponsors, and tens of thousands of supporters who contribute. Thank you to everyone who makes WPR possible on air, on the app, and at WPR.org.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. Right now, we're talking with Adam D'Angelo, who's director of the Pawpaw Project, and talking about the work they're doing and about pawpaw trees in general. Susan in Madison emailed. She has two pawpaw trees, enjoys the fruit very much, but they are worse than raspberry bushes in the shoots they send out. What's the best way to keep them from taking over the neighborhood?
Yeah, so it's a blessing and a curse. Pawpaw trees are very vigorous. They grow quickly, and they produce a lot of fruit. But what you're talking about there are suckers. And they'll shoot up suckers from the roots, and those are little tiny trees that'll appear in the yard. And the best way to deal with them is a lawnmower. And that's the best way we've found, and that's what we do in our orchards. The other thing we do is we plant them on landscape fabric or weed fabric around them, and that seems to keep the suckers from coming up.
Yeah, I like the lawnmower approach. It's very effective.
Oh, yeah. It also helps to break up some of the seeds and things that are underneath the trees and keep everything looking clean.
Yeah. Corey emailed. He grows pawpaws just south of Madison. Last year, he tried baking a bundt cake, and it was delicious, but it ended up causing some gastrointestinal distress in his wife and in him. Any idea why, and are there any steps he can take to keep that from happening with cooked fruit? He ended up making wine out of the rest of them.
A very common thing. Pawpaw fruit, when you cook it, it will make you sick. You can eat a bunch of it fresh with no ill effects, but some of the chemical compounds inside of the fruit seem to change when it's heated up. The best I can recommend is avoid cooking it. You can make things like ice cream and smoothies, a pawpaw version of a mango lassi. You can put them in things. I've seen gelatin lately, and the way they do that is they heat up the gelatin, and then as it's cooling, they put the pulp in right at the end so that you're not heating it up. Things like fruit leathers will make you sick, just like cooking it, but there's plenty of other options, and I recommend exploring some of those. And also, pawpaw wine and pawpaw beers are another great use for the pulp.
Well, it sounds like I'd love to have a taste of that wine. That sounds pretty interesting. If you're thinking mango and banana combination, kind of.
So I recently traveled to Croatia, and what's interesting is that even though pawpaws are they're a native fruit here, there's a burgeoning pawpaw industry in Croatia. And I got to tour around and see orchards with 5 or 10,000 trees. And what they're doing over there is they're making them into marmalades, they're infusing it into honey, and they're even making pawpaw champagne, which is a really creative use of the fruit.
Wow. And they're growing that many. They must have a market for it.
They do. They sell them throughout Croatia. They ship them to Italy. It's a specialty fruit, and it has really nice profit margins. It does take some work and coordination to make sure you get the fruit to a buyer before it goes bad. But they've found it to be a profitable exercise, and we're hoping that U.S. farmers can take a key from their book.
Nick in Fort Atkinson, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Nick.
Hi, I'm glad that you guys have this on today. Just timing couldn't be more perfect. I literally just ordered 2 pawpaw trees last night. And I did order 2 because I read somewhere that you need to have 2 different ones to pollinate. And my question is, I've got 2 questions. So one, when they arrive, will they be good? You know, I'm in Fort Atkinson here. So will they be good to be planted right when I get them? And then Hyrule, will the nursery have known to set me 2 different kinds so that they'll pollinate? And also, I'm glad you mentioned that they're shade tolerant, because I actually picked these out to go in a shade spot. So I will now need to find somewhere else in full sun, which isn't a problem, but I'm like perfect timing.
Okay.
Okay, a few questions there. So first off, if they're ready to plant, The big thing is if they come leafed out, if they have full leaves on them, then I would wait until after the frost date to plant them because they'll be a little bit tender to the cold. If they're dormant, just sticks with no leaves, you can plant them around now and they should be fine. We recommend planting them with tree tubes around them, plastic tree tubes. We've done the experiments. We found that to have the highest rate of successful establishment. It keeps the wind from drying them out. It gives them a little bit of shade the first year of their growth, and it keeps the rabbits from girdling them, and it protects them from the number one killer of pawpaw trees, the lawnmower. So we'd recommend getting some tree tubes, planting them in full sun, and lastly, if you ordered seedling pawpaws, so that's pawpaws that aren't a grafted variety with no name, they're going to come from seeds, so they're going to be genetically different and likely can pollinate each other.
All right. Nick, does that help?
Perfect. Yeah, I ordered them, but they should be like, I think they were like 3 to 4 feet. And then I guess, how soon before they'll fruit? Will I expect fruit in a couple of years? Or I guess I didn't think about that.
It all depends on conditions, but I would typically say 5 to 7 years. And of course, you can get sooner and it could be later, but growing in full sun will be the best way to quickly get fruit.
And if they're already 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah, they might be set back a year from the planting, but typically bigger trees or also grafted trees will often fruit a little bit earlier.
Nick, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Janice had emailed to ask when pawpaws are ripe. When they get ripe in zone 5?
We say mid to late September and sometimes into October. But there are some varieties that fruit a little bit sooner, and you can find guides on which varieties are earlier ripening than others.
Debbie in Holcomb, Wisconsin, your turn. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have 2 pawpaws that my daughter grew from seed in Illinois. Her neighbor had 2 very large ones. I'd never had them. We ate them. We loved them. And so she tried growing them, and she's very sciencey, so she looked everything up in a lie, and anyway, was able to produce 4, and I have 2 of them. They're planted here in Holcomb. They've been here for 3 years. They were just little tiny things, and now they're maybe, I haven't looked this spring yet to see whether they've started leaving yet, but they're maybe a little over 1 foot, that's all. You were at the very, very northern portion of possibility, and they are living. They've lived for 3 winters.
And your zone is?
It's 4.
4.
Zone 4 can be rough, typically with a lot of fruit trees, actually. The saying is, first they sleep, then they creep, then they leap. So it sounds like you might be in the creeping phase. In our experience, once they've gotten a good root system down, they really start to grow a lot faster. You have a lot of factors that could be going in. You could have a soil type that's particularly heavy. You could have, if it looks like it's freezing back each year, if the tips keep dying, that would stunt it. But other than that, I'd hold out faith. I'd give it a broad spectrum fertilizer, eat in the middle of the summer, not in the fall, because you want it to have time to harden off, and I'd keep at it.
All right, Debbie, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Jean emailed to ask, what do pawpaws look like and what do they taste like? We talked a little about it, but go ahead.
Yeah, so picture something the size of a mango. It tastes like a mix of banana and mango. It has large black seeds, about 10 of them in the middle. It's got green skin. Sometimes it's a yellowish skin. And very soft. It was George Washington's favorite fruit. It fed the Lewis and Clark expedition, so it's native here. And they make excellent ice creams, excellent smoothies, all sorts of things like that. If you want to taste the pawpaw, you can actually go to a pawpaw festival, and those are all throughout the country. But a new one just started up in the town of Pawpaw, Illinois. You might have seen it driving to Chicago. And that's a festival where you can go and try fruit, try products with the fruit, learn all about the trees, and even purchase yourself a tree to go home with.
So where the heck is Pawpaw, Illinois?
Pawpaw, Illinois is about 1 hour from the Wisconsin border.
Oh, so not that far. Jill can get down there in a few hours.
That's right. And it's a fun all-day event. It's great for kids. There's lots of different activities. And last year, it was very, very popular. That was their first year. And people in this area are just dying to get a taste of this cool fruit.
Yeah, that is really cool.
ProjectPawPaw.com. That's ProjectPawPaw.com. And we actually just released a handy festival finder webpage where you can put in your address anywhere in the country and you can find a pawpaw festival near you.
Jenny in Larson emailed to ask, where can you get pawpaw trees or purchase them in Wisconsin?
So aside, there's plenty of nurseries selling seedlings. I'd say a sure bet would be to purchase them from Project Pawpaw. We're all sold out for the spring, but if you go to our website and join our email newsletter, you'll be notified when the pre-orders go live in the fall. They've been really popular these past 2 years. There's also a nursery called Canopy Farm Management, and that's out in Spring Green. They've got some for sale, and I've seen them for sale at Jung's before as well.
Robert in Richland Center emailed, he's wondering, what varieties do you recommend for southern Wisconsin? Ones that would, he's looking for some prolific bearers in southern Wisconsin.
Yeah, so one of the reasons we're planting these research orchards is so we can actually make recommendations. No one's ever had all the varieties in the same place, and no one's ever had all the varieties in multiple environments either. The best we can say is go for fruit quality. I like Susquehanna and Shenandoah. Those are two varieties from breeder Neil Peterson on the East Coast. And for fruit quality, those are great. Although I'd say if you're really looking to get started, you can plant seedling pawpaws and let them get established. And then if you want to learn to graft, in 3 or 4 years, you can graft whatever variety you want onto them. And that way, if your tree dies when it's young, or if it freezes to death, or you forget to water it, or you hit it with the lawnmower, you're out a lot less money than you would be if you had a grafted tree.
Yeah, you don't want to damage the bark on those, especially when they're young like that.
And something else to consider in Wisconsin is your microclimate. So making sure you don't plant them at the bottom of a hill where all the cold air gathers.
And shakes.
Really high wind environments are also rough on them. They have very large leaves, very tropical looking.
And somebody else is wondering about how the crowdfunding works for you. Tell, how does that work, and what... why you went that way?
Yeah, so crowdfunding, all the sales through our festival appearances and through our website, projectpawpaw.com. There's an online store there. Every single dollar goes directly towards the research. I donate my time to this project, and so do a lot of other collaborators and ever-growing list of collaborators, because we want to see this work. The crowdfunding came about because it was necessary. There is very little in public investment in some of these fruit crops, and we're hoping to see more. But the story of the past 100 years is that of prioritizing shorter-term gains over longer-term crops like pawpaws and other perennial agroforestry crops. So this was one way that we could get a start, get orchards in the ground, and start making progress while we waited for the rest of the public to catch up.
And how soon do you think you're going to have a pawpaw that will be able to be sold in a grocery store?
Plant breeding is a slow process, Larry. Some of these things can take decades. So I think the soonest you're looking at a new variety is 15 years. But what we can do is make recommendations and find existing varieties that do well. And I think we'll have those answers in about half that time.
Oh, man, that's great. So how many folks are working on this project?
So we've got me full-time sort of working on the research and coordinating the establishment of these orchards. And then we're starting to come on with farmer collaborators. So one of the orchards in New Jersey is planted with a young vegetable farmer who's collaborating and working on the breeding. And that's the same deal with the orchard in Georgia. We've also got enthusiastic volunteers. And this fall, we'll be launching a project where we collect pawpaw seeds from all over the country. And if you sign up for our email list, you'll get information on that. But we're trying to get seeds from all over the country so that we can have a representative diversity panel of all the different trees and geographic regions around the country.
Adam, great talking with you. We'll have to get you back when you get some more data for us. Appreciate it very much. Adam D'Angelo, director of the Pawpaw Project. Take a look at the website, and you'll learn a whole lot more. Great to have him with us today for Garden Talk. And just a shout out to our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Padnaud, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, our technical directors, and executive producer Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.
Support for WPR comes from the state of Wisconsin, business sponsors, and tens of thousands of supporters who contribute. Thank you to everyone who makes WPR possible on air, on the app, and at WPR.org.
WPR connects you to people in Wisconsin and around the world. You hear many perspectives and civil conversations every day, and you may even learn a few things along the way. Wisconsin Public Radio brings you thoughtful conversations and the latest news. Thanks for listening.